I feel led to begin this study in the book of Galatians. Galatians is honestly one of my favorite books. I don't know if you have a favorite book. It's not because it's better than any other portion of scripture. It's just God makes us all different, right? And we all have things that kind of light our fire in both ways, right? They light our fire and they give us energy and excitement and passion, or they light our fire to make, they make us angry. That's one and they're the same thing. But anyway, Galatians, I'm so excited to delve into this book of Galatians. It's not going to be exhaustive. We're going to actually break it up into three sections, chapter 1 and 2, chapters 3 and 4, and chapters 5 and 6. But Galatians has always been just, I've been attracted to the book of Galatians because of what the book of Galatians is about as a theme. Okay? And like, if I have a trigger, which I do, and I mean that in a bad way, like if you want to push my buttons, just, I'm like my dad, like if I see disrespect, or ungratefulness, there's something about it, just triggers me and I have to watch. The other one is legalism. Legalism. I have to watch myself when I sniff out a Pharisee. Because when I sniff out a Pharisee, you know what happens to me? I become pharisaical about their Phariseeism. And I just have, I have to cool my jets. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying I'm better than a Pharisee. I'm saying a Pharisee pulls out the Pharisee in me. And so Galatians has always been just such a wonderful portion of scripture to me, because Paul is addressing legalism. If you could just put a theme on it, it would be about freedom. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, verse 1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free." And it's not a freedom without responsibility, because maturity and freedom come with responsibility. It's similar to Paul saying in another book where he said, "All things are lawful to me." That's pretty scary. Right? All things are lawful to me. Paul's saying, in Christ, I can do anything I want. But he finishes that with by saying, but not all things are profitable. And then he goes on to say things like, and I am under the law of liberty. You know, there are some believers who follow the Lord, and they think because they're in the New Testament, they're free to do anything, and they don't need the law of God. But what we need is a law of liberty that comes with maturity and responsibility. Because if I am truly motivated and empowered by and following the Spirit of God, I will be in my liberty self-sacrificial, self-giving, and other-centered. It won't be about me, my liberty. My liberty will be about you. And so Galatians is a beautiful epistle about that liberty, and Paul addressing issues where people are trying to take away other people's liberty. He's addressing what he calls in other books Judaizers. Judaizers. You will see as we go through this that Paul was on a missionary journey. He would go into these different cities, and there were these Judaizers who would follow him, trying to, in their mind, they weren't trying to enslave. They were trying to appropriate the gospel through the Mosaic law. And Paul is sharing with the Galatians, which we'll see is a large group of people, a large region. It's not like one church, like if Paul would send a letter to the CCNA. It was a large area, which we'll see. But he would say, the gospel that I brought to you if these people are coming to you and they're sharing a different gospel, he uses very strong language. He says, let them be accursed. That's how passionate Paul was about the revelation that he had received in Christ. So much so that he was called to preach to the Gentiles. And this is the target group, one of the target groups, these Gentiles, these non-Jews. Okay? So that's kind of like the summary that we'll go through. Like I said, this is an introduction. I don't know how many weeks it'll be. If I told you how many weeks it would be, I would be lying to you. Because we'll see how it goes. All right, Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. This is how the book starts out. Paul, an apostle. So this is how we know that Paul wrote it. Paul, an apostle. So not only do we know it's Paul, but he declares himself to be an apostle. What right does he have to do that? Was there a school? Was there a certification? Could he get on Rome's internet and say, I'd like to, where do I find a certification for apostleship? He said, oh, send $30 to this address and get your certificate. Is that how he calls himself an apostle? And he was sent. Notice that he claims he was sent. He's not just doing this on his own whim, his own intellect, his own priority, or he didn't wake up one morning and go, I've got a good idea. He says he's sent. And who does he say he's sent from? Not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ. Well, that's kind of like a trump card, right? If someone would say to you, why do you share the gospel that you share, Rob? And I would say, well, the way I see the gospel right now is because the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. How do you combat that? And someone else would say, well, obviously the Spirit didn't reveal that to you because I disagree. And, you know, I would say, well, how do you know what the Spirit revealed to you, right? That's why we need each other. That's why we need tradition and orthodoxy and history of 2,000 years to look at, to see what the church as a whole, are we nuts? Or are we on track? He's been sent not by man or by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. So the Trinity's involved in this sending of this man, Paul. And the Father raised him, Jesus, from the dead, and all the brothers that are with me. So he says, I'm writing you this letter, but I'm also with a bunch of brothers that follow the Lord as well. And I'm writing to who? Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. He starts out the letter with, if you're going to start out a letter, you might as well start it out this way. Grace and peace to you. That sounds good, doesn't it? Father, grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of yourselves, so that only a few can boast. Are you going to boast someday? I can't wait till we all get into the next age. And none of us, there is not one person in this room who would say, well, I'm going to say because I, you what? You what? You're going to say, I believed. Okay. We'll see. Because when Paul goes into this gospel and he begins to share about the grace of God, he's going to show us that the grace is even there to believe. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. And why did he come? Why is Paul going? Why is Paul sent to the churches of Galatia? Why did Jesus come? Why did the Father send him? To what? Rescue us. To rescue us from darkness. To rescue ourselves from death. to rescue us from the effects of the first Adam and his disobedience, when all were wrapped up in Adam, but now all are wrapped up in the second Adam, and he's come to rescue us. He's come to rescue his sheep from this present evil age, according to the will. So this is God the Father's desire. It's the Trinitarian desire. The will of God, our Father, and Jesus. There's a portion of scripture, I believe it's in Romans. It says, who can condemn you? Is it God the Father who sent Jesus? Is it Jesus who died for you? What can separate us? So the Trinity from before the beginning of time is, it knows it is bringing all its wherewithal to relentlessly pursue us, to rescue us from ourselves and our delusion, from our sin and from darkness and from death. That's grace and peace. That brings grace and peace. And then Paul says, and he just kind of breaks out in a hallelujah chorus, and he says, the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So, this is the beginning of the book of Galatians. It is a gospel of freedom, freedom in Christ. So, Paul wrote this gospel to an area of the world called Galatia. So, this is the area marked in red. This is Israel. Right? Jerusalem, Syria, I believe Turkey is all up in there. And so that red area is the area of Galatia. Now some scholars break it up as North Galatia and South Galatia. If the word Cappadocia means anything to you, Cappadocia would be to the west of that. But that's the region that Paul is writing to. And the reason he's writing to that area is because Paul went on three missionary journeys. Once God came to him and knocked him off his, we believe, his horse. Who knows what he was on? When God met him on the road to Damascus, and his testimony, Paul's testimony is, I saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. Have you ever tried to look up into the sun? I saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. In other words, I saw the one who created the brightest light in our universe, in our galaxy. And he talks about how he had this conversation with this light. And the light said to him, Saul, Saul, what? Why do you persecute me? Why do you persecute me? Notice how Jesus is so intertwined with humanity. You might say the church, but I say humanity. But Saul here is aggressively persecuting the church. And Jesus so identifies with the church, he says, why are you persecuting me? So that means what happens to you happens to Jesus. That means what happens, what you do to someone else, you do to Jesus. Jesus tells us a parable in one of the Gospels. You remember it. The sheep and the goats. And he said to one group, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in jail, you visited me. When I was sick, you prayed for me. And they said, "What? When did we see you do these things?" And he said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to who? Me. So Paul here, when he was Saul, and he's on the road to Damascus, Jesus is revealing to him one thing when he saw the light is that Paul, Saul, you think you might be doing my work, and you think that you're showing devotion and passion for me, but in actuality, you're fighting against me. And I so associate with those who are mine, my humanity, that you're hurting me. And so Paul then goes through this time of blindness, and a brother Ananias eventually meets him, and he he has this period of that we read in Galatians eventually where if he doesn't do anything for 3 years and he goes off into Arabia and then he does it, he sees a few of the disciples, but then for 14 years, he's off in Arabia. 14 years. 13, 14 years. We read it like it's a book, like it happens every day. Like, oh, Paul did this and then he did this. It took time. But Paul was on a missionary journey after this. He felt now that he has this revelation of Jesus, who Jesus initiated. Paul didn't initiate it, did he? Jesus initiated it. The relentless pursuer initiated it. I wonder, would you like that to happen for all those you're praying for in your family? Would you like them to have a Damascus Road experience? Well, the relentless pursuer, the good shepherd, he's on that. He's on that mission. Long before you were on that mission. The only reason we have that heart is because he's giving us his heart. So Paul, because he's got this revelation of this God who loved him and pursued him, and his testimony in the first chapter is that he chose me and set me apart from before I was born, before I was delivered. He uses the phrase, while I was still in my mother's womb. That's why he can start out the letter with grace and peace. Because that's why he's always saying, the more I apprehend this reality of this gospel, the more I recognize I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm the chief of sinners. And that I have received the abundance of grace, therefore I have to go preach this gospel of grace. So this was one of the regions he went to. And when he would go into a city, he would share the gospel. What's that? Well, it depends who you ask. But whatever Paul shared in this letter, people were sharing something that he thought wasn't the same gospel. And isn't it interesting that when we find out what it was that they were sharing, it had to do with works. It had to do with devotion to God. It had to do with something you were sacrificing for God. Something very painful. And Paul's like, no, 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 no. And he starts to share with them the gospel that he shared with them. But that's the region, okay? So he went on this missionary journey one or two or three times. This particular portion of the region he shares with us is Galatia. If you want to read about that, it's in Acts 13, 14. And even 15, and 15 is, Acts 15 is what we call the Council of Jerusalem. And there were people in this area who were being taught after Paul was there that they needed to do a work, a mosaic work, to truly know God and have a relationship with him. And that particular work was circumcision. And so Acts 15 is all about that. So imagine, if you will. So here's the challenge that Paul has. Here's the challenge that God has. It's not really a challenge for God, but God is continually revealing himself to the world. And so now that it is finished, now that the incarnation has taken place, the death, burial, and resurrection, and now Jesus said, I must go away. It's expedient that I go away because I'll send you the Spirit of truth, who will lead you into all truth, and therefore go. Paul feels called to who? Gentiles. Where Peter feels called to who? The Jews. But here's what I want to draw to your attention, okay? These areas, this is pretty much the only area that is Israel. These are the people who are sons of Abraham. These are lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the ones who, when God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, I will make you a father of many nations. And that's why he changed his name from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, the exalted father of many nations. That's why he changed his name. And he says, look at the sand, Abraham. You see, can you count the granules? That's how many descendants you're going to have. He said, look at the stars. Can you count them? Nope. That's how many descendants you'll have. But who were the scriptures given to? Abraham's descendants. Every book we have that we have in our scriptures was given to this little area of the world, right here. God would set up his tabernacle with those people. Tabernacle where he would journey with them in a tent. And then ultimately, David came up with a great idea and said, why should I live in a beautiful mansion? I'm the king. Why should I live in a castle made of cedar and you're out there living in a tent, God? I'm going to build you a house. And what did God say? I don't want a house. Thanks, David. I appreciate it, but I don't want a house. Because heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. But then he said, go tell David if he wants to build me a house. Go ahead, build me a house. So then we have a permanent structure in this little area of Israel, Judea. And this is where God said, I will meet with you. There's the outer court, there's the inner court, and there's the Holy of Holies, and in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant, and the top of the Ark of the Covenant was called the Mercy Seat. There it is again. The Mercy Seat. And he says, there I will meet with my people. And so you could see the smoke rising up out of that temple. The fire of God would come on that temple. But where was it? In Israel. The scriptures were given to Israel. God's presence, they think, is limited to Israel. They are God's people. It's limited to Israel. Every other part of the world are Gentiles. It means they don't know God. It means they don't have a covenant with God. One of the words is heathen, heathen nations. The reason I'm trying to lay this groundwork is because now Paul has to go to these regions where they have no framework. They have no context. They have no history. No one sat down with them at Passover dinner and recounted the stories year after year after year after year. He's going to a people who have no context. What is he going to tell them? So that is the challenge that Paul has. Especially now that when he goes into the region and he shares this gospel of grace and this gospel of being in Christ, which we'll touch on, and how what that meant to Paul and what that meant to these believers and what it meant to the Jews, it frustrated them to no end, the gospel that Paul was preaching. And they received it with gladness, and then these people, these Jews, would come afterwards, because why? They've been known God for generation to generation to generation. They know the law. They know the scriptures. They have all this, if you want to call it, good baggage. That they're going to bring and help these new believers out, they think. And they're going to add to Paul's gospel. And Paul is going to get very passionate about what they're trying to do. And so imagine this, all these nations. And now that this gospel that Paul got from a revelation of a visit from God. How does he explain that? How do you explain that to somebody? When Paul says, yeah, I was just one day, I was out kind of minding my own business. We still had a ways to go. And all of a sudden Jesus showed up to me and he shared with me the gospel. And that's why I tell it. So what do all the Jews want to do to him? They want to kill him. Because apparently this gospel he's sharing doesn't line up with their understanding of the scriptures that they've had for generation after generation after generation. Such an interesting switch, right? Paul was the one doing that. And I'm sure all those Jews were like, woohoo! And if there are people listening to this like online and you think I'm an anti-Semite, I'm not. If you know me, you know it would be impossible for me to be an anti-Semite because I'm a Semite. I'm a Shemite. Paul is taking this gospel to this area, and these Judaizers are causing him pain. And Paul's challenge is, how do I deal with these Gentiles? What do they have to adhere from the law of Moses? And what do they don't have to adhere from? That's basically what the letter of the Paul is addressing here, is those issues. As Paul wrestled with these Judaizers who would come along and say, if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to follow these Mosaic traditions. And so, isn't it interesting, another thought, imagine Paul coming into your city and look around at the different gender. Mix. Okay, we have males and females. All right, so what was the main concern of these Judaizers that they had to follow? Circumcision. And all the guys groaned, and all the ladies were like, phew. But think about it. This shows you kind of the priority and the stance that the Jewish people had in this area of where women stood in priority. The very thing that these Judaizers were pointing out and saying, you had to get this done if you're going to follow Jesus, had absolutely nothing to do with you ladies, because you didn't matter. And if you did matter, you didn't matter that much. It's like, oh, you want to follow Jesus? Go ahead. But these guys, they have to show the sign of the covenant. Right? So imagine, ladies, when Paul now comes and he stands up for you and he says, in Christ, there is no Jew. There is no Gentile. There is no male. There is no female. And these Judaizers are going, shut up. That's heresy. And all the ladies are like, preach it, Paul. Preach it. Tell us we're equal in Christ. No slave, no free. Ugh. We want in and out. We want us and them. And so Paul would raise up all these incredible Gentiles that God loved, and then he would not separate them in gender, and he would not separate them in religious pigeonholing. But he was coming into the revelation that God so loved the world that he gave. Peter wasn't there yet. Isn't that interesting? Peter wasn't there yet. Paul had to address Peter as Peter was learning on his journey that God's parameters were bigger than his own of who God would love and could love and did love. And so what would be the relevant comparison today if Paul would come and he would share his gospel? What would be the relevant comparison today? I would say it would depend on which community he would visit. There are some denominations that are very legalistic. And I would imagine, I can't even say that whole denomination would be legalistic, because it also depends on the pastor and the leadership there, and how they see it, right? But everybody puts a different priority on certain things. Like, I was in conversation with somebody just this week, and they said, those are secondary issues. I'm talking about primary issues of faith. And I said, what makes them primary to you doesn't mean they would be primary to somebody else. And the things that you call secondary issues might be primary to them. And so it's this gospel of freedom. What would be relevant today? Well, if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to, you plug in that blank. You fill in that blank. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to, well, this is very relevant, vote this way. And let me tell you why. If you're going to follow Jesus, then you have to do this on this day. And let me tell you why. Maybe your devotion, what do you mean you don't read your Bible? You call yourself a Christian and you don't read your Bible? When I came to know the Lord, I didn't go to church for at least 3 or 4 months. Never even asked the question of myself why. Because I had no one to tell me its importance. Person who shared the gospel with me wasn't going to church either. Was it important that I go to church? Yeah. It's important that we be together in a community. In an accountable love community where we can ebb and flow and God can, all those reasons, not what this message is about, but wasn't that big a deal. I was devouring the Word of God alone in my bed, devouring it. I was smoking, I was drinking, I was partying, all the skies were bluer. The grass was greener. I was now apprehending life. And if you came to me when I was in those stages, you would have said, that man doesn't know God at all. You might come to me today and say that. Some do. Yeah, I've gone off the rails. You hear the talk out there? It always comes back to me. I've gone nuts. I can't tell you if I've gone nuts or not. I can tell you this. My heart, like the Grinch, has blown up at least 3 sizes. I can tell you that. And if whatever's going on in me causes me to love God and love people more, then I'm all for it. Yeah, so the relevance of that, what would Paul say about this gospel of liberty? So when we get into this, we are going to look at chapters 1 and 2. It's Paul's gospel of grace of Christ in you. Notice "in" is in quotations. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why it's capitalized. There's a reason for that. We're going to look at the difference between what Paul had happened to him, and in some translations, it says this. It says, and when it pleased God, I believe it's verse 16, but we'll go to that someday. He says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal Christ in me. Some versions say, when it pleased God who revealed Christ to me. Which one is it? To or in? We'll look at that. And it makes a huge difference. Huge difference. And we'll see why, and why that helps Paul preach his gospel of Christ in the Gentiles. Not among the Gentiles, like the translators put. It's in the Gentiles. So we'll look at that in chapters 1 and chapter 2. Beautiful, beautiful experience that Paul had. And if you would say, Paul, prove it to me, he would try and use some scripture. But I mean, really, bottom line is he's like, Jesus showed up to me and told me this. So in chapters 1 and 2, we're going to look at Paul's gospel of grace of Christ in you. Okay, and there's a big difference in the gospel of Christ in you to Christ to you. And we'll talk about that. Chapters 3 and 4, we're going to look at Galatians. He talks about this gospel creates a new multi-ethnic community. Right? Talk about opportunity for explosions. Right? And misunderstandings and cultural conflict and relational conflict. I mean, the gospel is opening up to that women are actually in the service with us. instead of being separated. Not only that, you have these Hellenistic Jews coming in. You've got Romans coming in. You've got Greeks coming in. Oh, what are we going to do? So Paul deals with that. There's a big difference between one chosen nation and God choosing all nations. And then chapters 5 and 6, it is the gospel is what transforms humanity by the Spirit. That's so Paul lays down this big defense of grace, but he says it is the Spirit that brings the transformation. And there's a big difference between the flesh and the Spirit. And so that's Galatians. Big difference between works and grace. The gospel of freedom. All right, Galatians. Can't wait. All right, Father, we thank you for the reality of your pursuit of us. And it's Peter who writes, you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. And that we have these great and precious promises from you, Father, that we can be partakers of your divine nature. Oh, we so want to be like you. Thank you for just working that desire in our heart. We want to be like you. I heard someone say it once that if you would push this button, if you could push this button and you would just get rid of everything in you that's unlove, everything that's selfish, everything that's ego, everything that's me, 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 would you hit that button? I'm telling you, I would hit it in a second. And I'm sure you would too. And Father, we thank you for that desire. We love your law in our inner man. And so as we go into this book of Galatians, give us revelation. Thank you. In the same way you gave revelation to Paul, you will give it to us. Because you are the one who's given us the Spirit who will lead and guide us into truth. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful day.